I am going. I've been in James. You know, as I kind of was just seeking God and where to get into the Word this morning. When I say seeking God, you know, I'm not talking about anything fancy. I was just, hi, Sue. I wasn't talking about anything, you know, fancy or anything, you know, like I got into some deep spiritual place or anything like that. But I just, you know, as I wake up in the morning and decide that I want to be before the Lord, I just start listening to what he wants to say to me. That's how God speaks to me. So we're in the book of James, and I want to start, we're in chapter 1, and I want to start in verse 17. So I'll give you, if you got a Bible, a minute there to change or stick to it. But James 1:17, and really, I've been finding the first chapter of James just so relevant today in this time period. God has brought me back to it time and time again, and I'm so thankful for it. But in James 1:17, it starts off by saying, every good gift and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. But see, there is no variation or shadow of turning. Praise the Lord. Is there a way to do that background noise or is that just there? Oh, okay. every good gift and perfect gift is from above. You know, and as I wanted to share with you, this isn't exactly where we're going completely, but I wanted to share with you some things about this. The word good, I mean, it means good, it means pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy, useful, all these things. Oh, if we all could just have you all just mute your devices because we're getting a lot of feedback and background noise. So if you could just, I don't know, put a mute button there. Praise the Lord. Just a little distracting. Thank you. Praise God. So the word good means useful, you know, useful, beneficial. Pleasant, agreeable. And the word perfect is another good word. It means wanting nothing, necessary to completeness. Necessary for completeness. And so between that, we see that everything that God does for us is useful, it's beneficial, it's enjoyable, it's agreeable. All the things God has for us are to be a good thing. It's never to be a bad thing. And so what we know by that is we know that God's thoughts and his plans for us, of course, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, they're always to lead us into that place of agreeable, of peaceful, you know, a place where a place that's not affected by the things of the world. And that's what his desire is. But in context, as we continue on in these scriptures, we're going to get to a real interesting part. In verse 18, he says, of his own will, he has brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So we know that God wants us to be fruitful in what we do and that fruit exhibits his goodness and his perfectness. So we can also look at it this way, that we, as the body of Christ, to each other and to the world, we are gifts to each other, but we're also a gift to the world as we bring this fruit forth, because we're supposed to bring God's fruit forth. And so as we do that, we should be good and perfected in of ourselves as we go forth through this. Now, I don't mean perfect in the sense, oh, Mr. Perfect or Miss Perfect, but we're perfected into God's goodness. And so our lives need to be reaching for that, and we need to be desiring that, not just because we like things good and perfect for us, but because we truly desire to be exhibiting what God has for us. But going on in verse 19, it says, so then, and that whenever we see so, of course, therefore, so, something like that in the Bible, that's, I actually started in verse 19 and 20 this morning, but when I see that word so, it always draws me back to what's before and to study out what's before. But because of those things, because God is perfect, because he's good, and because his gifts are perfect, and his gifts are good, and that we are that as well, because of these things, so then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, where this kind of came from, what the Lord started dealing with me on, specifically was I had been in a conversation yesterday or the day before, I can't really remember. And that conversation, it started off, talking about things that are going on. And then all of a sudden I was complaining about decisions that like our governor has made or that other people have made in politics and stuff like this. And then I found myself going down and getting mad about it. And then I was going further. And as my conversation went on, I started switching very quickly into complaining about it and being mad and angry, all these things. And so we see all of a sudden I started seeing the wrath of man. Remember that word wrath, it means beyond just being angry, overly angry or your temper. It means the natural disposition of humans. And so our natural disposition sometimes leads us to that place of, well, let's complain about it. I got something to say about it. I got an opinion about it. But look back in verse 19 where it says, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak. And the reason it says slow to speak is because that's exactly what the natural disposition does. It makes us want to, well, I just want to go say something about it. I'm angry about this, so I got something to say. Now, remember, I'm not correcting you, but I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the things that I was going through. It's in a normal way. What I started seeing is that doesn't produce anything godly in the world. As a Christian complains, as a Christian gets mad, as we get angry about these things, and we just speak our mind because, by God, we're Americans and that's what we're allowed to do. But we just speak our minds and we just say what we want to say. What happens is we kind of enter into that same flow of the rest of the world. And when we do that, it's not producing the righteousness of God. And people may say, well, why would I want to produce the righteousness of God? Well, if we look back at verse 17, it says every good gift and perfect gift comes down from him. So we understand that producing the righteousness of God is good and perfect. We want to bring that into the world. And unfortunately, what so many Christians have done in the past and are doing now is they're not bringing God's righteousness to the world, his good and perfect gifts. What they're bringing is the wrath of man. They're bringing the ideas of man. Listen, we're not going to agree on everything, naturally speaking. But one thing we can agree on, or something we can always agree on, is the word of God. We can always agree on the righteousness of God. We're not going to, you may have this cause and you may have this cause. One thing I've learned is I'll get in a cause or cause minded and I'll be like, oh, well, this is what I've experienced, and so I think this. Yeah. And then somebody else is like, well, this is what I experienced, so I think this. Well, everybody's cause is going to be vary depending on their what they experience in life. But that doesn't make us, that doesn't make either one of us necessarily right. It just means that maybe we have more revelation on something in the natural than someone else. But the defining thing about us should not be our causes. The defining things about the body of Christ should be Christ. Amen. Yeah. The things that God has put forth, the defining nature of us should be those things. I'm not saying we can't have our own opinions and stuff, but I'm saying that we have to be sure that our opinions don't carry us into wrath or the natural disposition or to just get into an argument. Isn't it fun when we, and then if you ever noticed, if you gotten in a discussion with someone who agrees with you, oh man, can't you get going real good? And they say, oh yeah, well this, by God, and bless God, and this too, and we're right here, and let's form a group and let's hold up signs and protest. But that's not what God wants us to do. Now, in reflecting on this, I can't get away from back in the beginning of the chapter, first chapter of James, where it says, in verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
Yeah.
Amen. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. Now, remember when we were reading in verse 17, when it was talking about everything, good gift from God, every perfect gift from God comes down from above. Amen. And so we understand that here again, he's saying, you got to be perfect to complete, but you're going to do so through patience. Well, brothers and sisters, we're in a time period right now where patience is probably the most needed thing. Everything we want to change. We want to get back to where we were. We want to get back to what we were planning before. We don't like change. We want to, you know, we don't want to wait and see what's going to happen. We want people to make decisions now. But the truth of the matter is we can't control everything. You can't control, regardless of whether you get mad at the governor or the president or anybody else, you can't control what they're going to do. We're not going to control things that way. We're not going to control the virus and the spread of the virus, naturally speaking, is what I'm saying, and all these things, of course. But we're not going to control those things. We're not going to control what our spouses do or what our spouses don't do. We're not going to control what family members do. You're not going to control what I'm going to do. And by God, I've learned I'm not going to control what you're going to do either. So we're not going to control pretty much anything except for ourselves. We might as well control ourselves in the area that produces the righteousness of God, which ultimately produces all the blessings of God in our lives. And so if we see here, it says, let patience have its perfect work. So there is a work that patience does in our lives. There's a work. Now, none of us like the word patience, except for Lori, because she's a doctor and she likes having patients come in, because that supplies for the family. But for the rest of us, of course, that's a different patience. But that was a little joke. Praise the Lord. But none of us likes the word patience. We don't love the idea of patience. We don't love the idea of waiting. But man, you know, as I think other scripture, about being content with such things as you have, this is really what Paul was talking about, is that we need to be content where we're at, knowing that God is good and everything good comes from above, and that he's going to be, his plan is always good towards us. So we have no reason to get bent. We have no reason to get out of line, out of sorts about things, that we just continue in the plan that God has given us. So, as I was thinking about this morning, it was an experience that I had with just an area that I maybe didn't act right in. You know, we need to consider each other as we're doing these things. We need to consider people and just remember to get in, to keep ourselves into that plan, into that place of patience, believing that God has got good things for us, believing that he's doing good things in us, and just taking a time to sit back and relax. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But that's actually about all I had for you. I just wanted to share those things with you really quickly, and just kind of stir you up. I hope you're all doing well. We're still continuing on. It looks like things are changing all the time, but God is good. His grace is good. His grace is with us and upon us. And as we continue into the things of God and towards and hungering and thirsting towards those things of righteousness, we're going to see God's greatness be formed in the church. We're going to see it come out in the church more and more. And hopefully the plan is that we'll actually reach some of this world with it too.
Because, yeah.
Again, that's the ultimate goal here, is to reach people. We're all saved. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that we're saved. Amen. That's great for us, but there's a whole lot of people that aren't. Even if we die today, we're going to heaven. But what good does that do the people that we're called to reach? And so we need to press on into the things of God. We need to continue, just staying in patience, saying the right things. Remember, not getting into complaining. I'm going to be corrected, hopefully, by my own my own words here even today. I will continue in this. I believe I will. But always perfecting. And here's one other thing. Don't get into condemnation. If you've been a person who's been complaining like me, don't get into condemnation about it. Just say, Lord, I recognize I'm just going to do better. I'm just going to do my best to do better. And see, that's the way it is with God. If we have our heart to do better, he will always meet us and help us. And he'll always forgive us. That's how we get off the hook, really, is to change to become something that is not like the rest of the world, where it just wants to be vile and nasty and fight everybody, but change our hearts so they're more in line with what the Father does in loving others. Amen?
Yeah.
You got something to say?
I did.
Actually. She's got something to say. Praise the Lord. Come on.
When you're talking about patience, talking about people, you know, this scripture keeps encouraging us. Says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. But what came to my heart is you're saying we're supposed to go out there and reap the people. God is being patient with us. He's waiting on us to go out and reach people. So he's expecting us to be patient, you know, in our lives, because patience is key to reaching those people. And God knows it. He's waiting for us. He's patient waiting for us to bring in the fruit.
That's right. Amen.
There's a good word there.
Yeah, praise the Lord. It's
good revelation.
Well, one thing that I will tell you all this, I hope I'm not taking too much of your time, but one thing that all of this has enabled us to do is some different things like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe before on an average Friday, I wouldn't have reached out to you all with a Zoom message, and maybe you wouldn't have even been able to join. But how good is it that we have things like this? And just, you know, this is just proof that we can just do what God, we can do things no matter what's going on, that we can continue in the plan of God. We can still be blessed, still reach people. And I hope, like I said, if nothing else, I hope I stirred you up a little bit today. And I want to say this too about the, you know, reflecting back on the complaining and stuff. The righteousness of God is peace, love, joy, glory to God, long suffering. We know those are the fruits of the Spirit. That's the righteousness of God. So we know that the wrath of man does not produce peace. The wrath in ourselves, the wrath of God does not produce joy.
No.
I actually have this this written down. I wrote it down just as I was waiting to get into the meeting here. I had wrote it down at the top of my page here in James 1. It just says, remember who's greater. Amen?
Wow, yeah.
That's
the things that get us through everything. Complaint moves us away from rejoicing. And what that means is complaint moves us away from God. Rejoicing moves us towards God. As we are, you know, people think we're crazy Christians. Why do you serve God? Listen, the things that God has taught me has brought me out of a life of hell and pain and suffering, and has put me on a direction that always brings me to joy, always brings me to peace.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't mean that there's never anything going on. We know that there's things that happen in life, but it's always moving us through that thing. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord.